Well, folks, please, to Joshua chapter 14. I have found over the years that a very profitable study in the scripture is to take Bible characters and have a look at them, how the Lord worked with them, what they accomplished, what they failed to accomplish. And you know, sometimes when we're looking at Bible people, we're inclined to think, well, they're on a pedestal. They're in a place with God where we'll never be. There's no use trying to emulate them or to accomplish half of what they accomplished. But, beloved, the truth of the matter is this. These characters in Scripture, from the greatest of them to the least of them, all they are is sinners saved by grace. That's what they are. That's what they were. And often made excuse to God as to why they couldn't do these things, because they felt their own limitations. They realized that they weren't supermen and women. Just sinners saved by grace. We have read about such a man today. You read his life and you think, what a giant. And yes, he was. But at the end of the day, all Caleb was a sinner redeemed by the blood. To put that in focus in your mind, we can have a look at this character as he's revealed to us in the scripture. We know that he came out of Egypt, and he came out by the blood. 40-odd years later, he's still there. He's still going on. He's still redeemed. But now, he's in the land of promise. And we are given a good insight into the life and character of Caleb, the sort of man that he was. There are four little thoughts I want to leave before you. Realizing we have the table afterwards and so on, we'll not keep you particularly long, but I think there are lessons to be learned and things that we need to perhaps see here. Well, it certainly shows us here something of the character of Caleb. Verses 8 and 9, he talks about his brethren that went up with him, made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Moses swore on that day, saying, the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Then again, over in the verse 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, because that he wholly followed the Lord God Israel. He says that about himself. Wasn't being boastful, only stating a fact. But then Moses paid him the same testimony and said the same thing, and so did God. So this is a character who followed God. He followed the Lord. And when the others who were with him made the heart of the people melt, caused the people to buckle under the pressure, Caleb stood firm. He dared to be a Daniel, folks. He dared, if needs be, to stand alone. But of course he had Joshua too. I think that's a wonderful testimony. And that phrase is used of Caleb six times in the Old Testament. I discovered when I was looking at it, it's actually a hunting term. It speaks of closing the gap between the hunter and his prey. You've ever seen these wildlife programs, and I just love them. I watch them when I have opportunity as often as I can. You see how the lion, for example, or the leopard, or even the cheetah, how it stalks its prey. It gets as close as it possibly can. Well, that's the thought here. Caleb was someone who kept the distance between himself and his God at a minimum, as close as he could get, near, so very near to God. More near I cannot be, for in the person of his Son I am as near as he. How close are we to the Lord? You know, it speaks of total commitment. No going back. Centuries ago, when Julius Caesar landed in England, his army stood on the cliffs of Dover and they looked to the water's edge and out a bit, and all the ships that they had sailed to England in were burning. Caesar was ensuring the men would not turn back. There was no going back. And folks, in Christian service, in the Lord's work, there ought to be no going back. It is significant, is it not? And in the list of the armor, in Ephesians 6, there's nothing for the back. You don't turn your back, you see. You keep going forward. No retreat. Oh, your testimony, listen, beloved, your testimony should shine for God. You should be known as one who wholly follows the Lord. Completely surrendered. Don't we sing the hymn, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Do we really mean it? That passage that was mentioned in the announcements, Romans 12. You know all about that, don't we? First 11 chapters of the book of Romans have to do with doctrine. All the great truths of our precious Reformed faith. Isn't that right? Doctrine of justification, election, all of that. And then he deals with all that in the first 11 chapters, and then he comes to chapter 12, and that's when he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That's the things he was talking about in the previous chapters, all those mercies of God. God chose you, friend in Christ, if you're a Christian tonight, chose you from all eternity. That's a mercy of God. He lifted you from the dunghill, set you among princes. That's a mercy of God. And Paul says here to the Roman church, he says, because of these mercies, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? A sacrifice is something that dies. Well, you're to die to self. A living sacrifice. Wholly acceptable unto God. Listen to this bit. Which is your reasonable service. God's not asking you to do something over and above what you're able. What he said of Mary, he requests of you. She hath done what she could. And it's just reasonable service. You're not going to be asked to do something that's beyond reasonable as a Christian. I love that, those particular texts. Living sacrifice. Wholly followed the Lord. Yielded his life in the service of the Master. Do we live consistent lives? Reminded of the story I read of three wee girls talking about their daddies. You know how wee girls are with daddy. Well, usually anyway. One wee girl said, my daddy is a doctor. He practices medicine. Another wee girl says, my daddy's a lawyer. He practices law. The third wee girl didn't know what to say, but she said this. My daddy's a Christian, but he doesn't practice anymore. You can smile at that, but what an indictment that would be. We need to be practicing, presenting our bodies. Not just, it just doesn't say he followed. Where's he holy from? That soldier that lay dying in a French battlefield when the doctor came to operate and plunge into his body to try and save his life, he said in a very weak voice, "Doctor, if you go much deeper, you'll come to the emperor." What do you mean? You see, he had the emperor Napoleon on his heart. He was fighting for him. He was dying for him. He was willing to die for him. If you go any deeper, you'll come to the heart, and that's for the emperor. Folks, that's the way it should be with Jesus. Don't know if you've ever seen film. I may have said this another time here, I'm not sure. Film of the missionaries that were butchered in Ecuador. Jim Elliot and his friend slaughtered. I saw a video film of the bodies of these men in the river, stuck through with spears, one in the neck. Horrible deaths. Horrible deaths. Those men had guns. They had two weapons for personal protection. They could have used them, but they didn't. Their love for Christ and the souls of those Indian men and women was greater than the desire for self-perseverance and preservation. They died. And the miracle of it all was, a short while later, nearly everybody in that tribe were converted to Christ. And there's video film and there's a photograph of Jim Elliot's wife actually giving the man that killed her husband a haircut in the village. You think of that? Holy, follow the Lord. Follow. I will follow Jesus. The character of Caleb. Then there's a word about the comfort for Caleb. Joshua chapter 14, verse 12 says this: "Give me this mountain." That's quite a demand, isn't it? But then he says this: "Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, that I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." The only ground of hope that Caleb had 45 years down the line was the word of God. And beloved, it's enough. For 45 years, this dear man believed God's word. He looked beyond the wilderness to the mountain. He looked to Hebron. He looked to the land of milk and honey. He looked to the grapes of Eshcol. He just looked further on than the present time. Christian, sometimes when you get a bit down and despondent, and, you know, let's be honest, we all do. I had a period in my life as a young minister, not very long in Dungannon, when for some inexplicable reason, I don't know why, I didn't know why at the time, but I was completely overwhelmed with depression. Those that know me would know that's not really my nature at all. I didn't want to rise from bed. I had great difficulty reading the scriptures. I could hardly pray. I just wanted to do nothing. I was really despondent. For a period of several weeks. And then suddenly, it lifted. And I was back to my old self, as whether that's a good thing or not, but it was. And I wondered why it happened. For I knew enough of the Lord to know that there's reasons for these things. And just shortly after that, I had a lady in the church who was absolutely as far down as she could go mentally. It was affecting her life in every way. And I was able to go to her and chat with her for a long time, and was able, through my own experience, to help her overcome her experience. A dear lady now is in heaven, but the despondency lifted. I listen, it will lift. How? Believe the word of God. Did Jesus mean it when he said, I am with you always? Or was he bluffing the people? No, he was not. He meant every word of it. And thank God it's true this afternoon. He'll be with us, and we have his word. Not only do you have the word here with Caleb, but you also have the walk, because verse 14 reminds us, he wholly followed the Lord. He walked by faith. You've got to walk in order to follow. That's why we sang that hymn. Follow, I will follow Jesus. And listen to this. Here's an encouragement for the people like me, the more senior citizens now. I used to hate that expression, the old people. So, what about the old people in the church? Well, I know what you mean because I'm among you now. But I'll tell you this. Age was no barrier to Caleb to blessing. He was 85. And in verses 10 and 11, he talks about his age and he says, I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Imagine having that strength. How many of us could say we're as good at 85 as we were at 40? I don't believe there's anyone in this place to stand up and say that. An old fella in Rigeshel, in Dungannon, and he met one of my elders one day, and he was talking to him, and he said, oh, he said, you know, I'm very weary. He said, why are you weary? He said, well, I dug some graves this morning. I don't know if it was two or three or what it was, but he dug graves. And then he says, I went and cut the lawn in several gardens and did some gardening work. And he says, it's just early afternoon. He says, I'm a bit tired. And this elder looked at him. He said, what age are you? He's 94, I think it was. 94. Well, he must have had the spirit of Caleb physically. But Caleb had this tremendous spirit within, didn't he? Just think of it. And what a comfort that must have been. I know that God's going to answer my prayer, and he's going to give me what he promised to give me. Christ promised you a home in heaven, Christian. Listen, you'll get it. There's no question about it, no doubt about it. You'll get that home. Didn't ask for a life of luxury. Didn't ask for a well-watered plain like Lot. Oh, no. Ask for a mountain. Wouldn't be easy to work a mountain. And then he says further in verse 12, the Anakims are there. Who are they? They're the giants. And they're still in the land. But he's claiming the promise God gave to him. He's going to take the land, no matter about the giants. And if you turn over just for a moment to the 14th verse of the next chapter, you'll read this. Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. So he engaged them, he fought them, and he chased them. Fully embraced the promise of God. Beloved, you've got to do that today. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. We don't want the tough work. Rather have the easy life. But this was Caleb's inheritance. There was, of course, a great, we'll not take the time to go into it all, but just in the book of Numbers, in chapter 13 of the book of Numbers, and the verse 33, I think it is, we read these words. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were on our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. What a challenge! You compare a grasshopper to a giant? Yet, this challenge he met head on. And he says in Numbers 14, and verse 9, I think it is, "Rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us." Don't worry about these giants. We'll eat them up as we would eat bread. Oh, I tell you, tremendous. He wasn't going to let anything cause him to fail God. Not the grasshoppers, not the giants, not the grumblers. And the grumblers were saying in the background, "They're too big, they're too many, we can't beat them. They'll hammer us." Not with God on your side. The last we thought very quickly is the conquest by this man. In Joshua 14, 13 and 14, Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron. It became the inheritance of Caleb. And the reason was this, as we said earlier, he wholly followed the Lord. The word Hebron, as you would know, means fellowship. What a fellowship with Christ and his child. If you show the spirit of Caleb. I was reading an American preacher. I do that sometimes. And somebody said to me, "Do you do it for a laugh?" I said, "No, don't. Sometimes it's helpful." And as he finished a message, he said, "Folks, this ought to be our battle cry. Refuse to give up, back up, shut up, or be held up until we have stood up, lined up, read up, prayed up, confessed up, stored up, spoke up, looked up, and filled up on everything the Lord wants to give us as his children. Nothing less, beloved, listen, nothing less than the best for God is suffice. Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Wouldn't it be worth it all just to hear those blessed words from the lips of the Savior? May God help us to strive for that in the days we live. We have a closing hymn.